Good morning. Nice to see so many of you here on New Year's. That's for sure. A lot of people probably had a hard time getting up this morning. My wife kept me out till about 1:30 this morning, so, you know. But I still got up, not very willingly. So it is nice to be here, and it's such a blessing. The first thing I want to do is wish you all a Happy New Year, and I also want to thank you for allowing me to be your pastor for we're getting close to 4 years now. May will be 4 years. June is when I first took the pulpit here, but I was in the office in May. So this will be my fourth New Year's with you. Our sermon text for this first Sunday of Christmas is going to be taken from Philippians, so you can remain seated, stay casual and comfortable. And we're going to read from Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11, continuing in Jesus' name. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship in the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would be with your word today, that you would be consistent and true to your promises. Father, we ask that you sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. New Year's is a time where we often make great resolutions, where we often turn around and we make promises within our own mind, or maybe we put them to paper. I've done that before and I found out I was a liar, so I stopped doing that. But we put them often to paper, or we even tell our significant other, or maybe put it nowadays on, you know, Facebook or something. Tell people that we're going to be different. But it's really amazing, because when you stop and you start looking at people, people are pretty amazing. They're interesting. And sometimes I think we can miss the fact that we, especially as Christians, are gifted with great gifts, and we have the ability to do wonderful things. It seems that often we have a tendency when we preach to turn around and talk about a lot of the struggles and the difficulties in our lives. But when you come to New Year's, you get pretty excited thinking about the changes that could come. And as we even heard Brother pray, there's a lot of changes within our nation that are coming because we have a change of office. But I want you to understand that we need to also understand that we are not all bad. We're not all bad. Yes, we live with a fallen nature. Yes, we live in the flesh and we have difficulty in the flesh, but we are found in Jesus Christ and we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our behalf. And this is really what Paul is trying to tell Philippi. He's trying to encourage them not to look at in their own abilities and their own strengths, but rather actually to understand who they are in Jesus Christ. I'm blessed to see that. I'm blessed to see that in this congregation. Maybe this is too personal. Maybe we shouldn't talk about the issues that are in the congregation, but you know me, I'm not too bright. We have a change coming. We have a change within our board because it's the beginning of the year. We have two members that are going off and we have two members stepping back in. And I'm telling you, we have some good people on our board. We really do. And I'm thankful. We understand that everybody has their own uniqueness. Everybody has their own style. And sometimes that can rub off on us in different ways, and we can become overcome by that. But really, what Paul would encourage us to do is look beyond that and see who they truly are. Not to bring glory to men, but in all honesty, Mark Antioch, I have more respect for him than I ever thought I would. He's a wonderful chairman. He's served this congregation for years. And I'm not bringing glory to him as a person. I honestly know it's the work of God through him. And I've been honored to have him as our chairman as I served here for these 4 years. Now Steve Erickson, who's missing in action, has stepped up. And I know his qualities too. Dave Jukery is also term limited, and he will be stepping out. But he is a wonderful individual who is concerned about the youth of the congregation, about different aspects of the congregation. And what I'm asking us to see is that we have good individuals within this congregation. And that we are blessed. I've seen my board make decisions that I personally didn't agree with at the first. But yet they stuck to their guns and they've made the decision and it was the right decision. I've also seen them allow other decisions to be made that they probably weren't comfortable with. But yet it was the right decision. Because God is leading. And I bring this out because this is what Paul is trying to tell us. He says, stop thinking only of yourself. Stop thinking only about what you can do and rather look around and understand what's going on around you. Do you know the saints that you're amongst? And do you know, in reality, what people are going through? Do you understand the struggles that they may be having? Maybe they've spoken in a harsh way. Maybe they've said certain things in different ways. Or maybe you think they're too soft. But do you know who they are? I don't. I'm guilty of that. I have a tendency to judge somebody just from a statement. Paul calls us beyond that. He talks in chapter 1 so powerfully about giving up his rights and his life for the ministry. He does. He speaks very strongly. He even comes down to the point of saying very plainly, now that I know Christ, now that I understand what he has given to me, I want to be with him. I'd rather go to heaven. He says, but for me to live is Christ. And for me to gain. For me to die is gain. He understands that he has a position to fill. He understands he still has work to be done. He would rather go be with the Heavenly Father in and through Jesus Christ, but rather now he knows his position is to stay here and to encourage the body. And he is willing. He really talks about the aspect of having gain within this world's influence by the finished work of Jesus Christ and the importance of that rather than preserving for himself his own comfort and his own need. And I want you to think of that too also when you look at your congregation. I want you to look at that as you look at the board members that you elect. I want you to look at that with your brother and sister in Christ in the pew next to you. That we do not know what they're going through personally. And sometimes some of the things that we're dealing with are very difficult. But yet we are here to encourage. And we are here in reality to serve. And that's Paul's emphasis. We live. We live in this world not for selfishness as Jesse often would want to be, but we live to serve. God has us here for a purpose. Gentlemen, stepping off, thank you. Your purpose was powerful and God used you mightily. Gentlemen, stepping on, which would be Dan Foote and Glenn Ekdahl, thank you for being willing to take another position because it's not always a popular place. And God will use you mightily. And I pray that God will work in each and every one of our hearts, that we would also, instead of standing on the sidelines like some sort of sideline quarterback, that we also would understand there is a position for us and that we would feel called to take active roles because it's not always easy. Paul says, we live to serve another. And he understands that Christ has given him everything, and he is a slave to this gospel. That's what he talks about in the beginning, all the way through chapter 1. So then he comes across in this way. He says, so if there is any encouragement, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort really from the love that we have, any participation in the Spirit, any affection or any sympathy, he says, I want you to understand this. I want you to complete my joy. He says, I am joyful. I have received of God. He has given me a job to do, and I am doing this job. I am stepping up to the plate, and I am entering out, not in my own abilities, but in and through the power of Jesus Christ, Paul says, and I'm going forward. He says, so don't let me down. Don't let him down. Do we think just putting people on the board is just a habit? We could get a little more holy on this. We don't have to call them board members. We could say elders. But some people don't like being called an elder. But the fact of it is, do we think it's just something that we just do? And do we think that board members or elders are there to represent only their own thoughts and needs? Or what they want to see? Yes, we speak about this now. We speak about this because Paul is bringing it out to the forefront about serving others and encouraging others. And he speaks about the fact that God has called him to a position not to represent himself, but rather to encourage others. And he also says, now I want you to complete this work for me. I want you to continue in what I have called you to, Philippi. I want you to continue to serve one another. And now we got to come to our standard because the Scripture applies to our life. It's not just a fairy tale. We don't have to be board members. We can be husbands. We can be wives. We can be friends. We can be Christian brother and sister. Do we serve and do we encourage and do we understand who we sit amongst? Saints. We are saints. When we insult one another, when we speak harshly to one another, do we understand we are insulting and speaking harshly to a saint? When we think ill and think they'll never know, do we understand God knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart? And it's not to bring great guilt to us, it's to bring clarity. Who are we? Is it easy to speak lightly? Is it easy to speak harshly? Is it easy to ignore the encouragement we are to have? Jesse often in the flesh would like to speak harshly because it makes him feel well. But Paul says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any comfort from love, if there is any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, he says, complete my joy by being what? Of the same mind. Willing to serve. Willing to encourage. Willing to lift up a brother or sister. I have seen this so many times in this congregation where I never expected it. I've seen congregation members come up and tell me, Pastor, I know that you've been busy, so I've been visiting here. Do you know what an encouragement that is to me? That makes my heart just overjoyed with love. Because someone took a concern, not just for some goofy pastor, but also for the body of Christ. That they are willing to step up just to go say hello. That they have the ability and the willingness to serve in their own way, in their own special small way. And trust me, it's not small. We often think it is, even ourselves. Well, what I do is not important. Trust me, what you do is extremely important. If you stand at the door and you greet people as they come through that door, that's huge. That might be the first greeting that somebody got. Wow, I gotta be careful. Got all week. That's probably one of the first times someone said, good morning, God's peace. It's good to see you all week. It's important. Encourage, edify, lift up have the same love, the same peace, the same mind, Paul says. Continue in this. He says, having the same love, being of one full accord, of one mind. How do we do this? In Christ. In and through Jesus Christ. Do you know how important it is? How important it is that somebody fills these candles? We always look to the puppy. We look to the pastor. We say, well, there's the position. No. That's the instrument of God, Lord willing. But He's also called others to play music, to sing, to shovel. I came here this morning and the door was shoveled up. Somebody took the time to shovel the door so that the saints could walk through the door. Do we overlook these things? Do we miss these things? Do we understand that in the new year we are called forth not only to serve our God, but to serve one another? And it shouldn't be begrudgingly. I'm not asking for somebody to say, oh, doggone it, I've got to go to that thinking church again and I've got to do something. But because we have love for one another. When you get excited about Christmas and you're buying your kids gifts, why do you do it? If you're doing it because you think you've got to, it doesn't taste good, does it? But if it's because you love the individual and you're encouraged by the individual and you want them to have happiness, giving that gift is greater than the one receiving it. Paul says, have the same mind, have the same love, have the same understanding. He says, don't go about in this life trying to serve self. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Not for self-gain. As I opened with, I am very blessed. I am very blessed to have a board that I work under. I know they don't do it out of self-gain because they don't want to be there. That was a joke. But there are other things they could be doing. Their lives are busy in many different ways. When's the last time that we've gone as a congregate member and thanked a board member? How many times have we taken our secretary and looked at the bulletin and read through the bulletin and found an error and told her? But yeah, how many times have we said, you know what, every week consistently you do this. Every month consistently you do this. Every month you take care of WMO. You take care of all the meals. You take care of all the scheduling. You take care of our goofy pastor. You take care of all these things. How often do we say, thank you. Thank you. I'm not asking for thanks. You, I get a lot of them. And I'm not going to say I don't want any of them. They're good. They make you feel like, okay, I'm doing this for a purpose. But what about those that serve in other ways? When's the last time we've actually had the same mind and wanted to encourage our praise group? There's times where I'm moved and I hear them sing a song and I say, thank you guys, that was powerful. And I'm not doing that just for political stance. It is a blessing to hear them. Sometimes it's a little off. But sometimes it's amazing. Do we thank them? We get so afraid that we might leave somebody out that we have a tendency to say, well, we can't say anything. That's foolish. We need to encourage, have the same mind, have this thing. Don't do things out of selfish ambition. He says, but with humility, count others what? And this is the main point. More significant than myself. And I know I'm being earthly today, and I know, but we speak so much about changing attitudes in New Year's. And I would never dream of pulling away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would never dream and say that you could step out and do this on your own. You cannot do it on your own. But in and through prayer, by the inspiration of His Holy Spirit, by reading His Word, being involved in His Word, you will be encouraged to edify the church. Do we put the best construction on our brother or sister? When we hear rumors,
When we hear things going on, do we go to the individual? Do we speak to them? Do we find the truth?
I didn't pick this text. You can say, well, what's his agenda? Go look at the church calendar. It's there.
But it struck me because I fail on so many places when I deal with this text. I do not often have the same mind. I often don't continue in the same love. I often don't continue to edify. And I have a tendency to do things out of selfishness and selfish ambitions. And I don't often see other people as more important than myself. And maybe you might be thinking, well, he's just self-loathing up there. No, I'm asking you, do you have the same problem? I would guess we do. Why is it so wrong to recognize the goodness in people? We get this bravado about us, or this false humbleness, especially, I've said it, within funerals and different things like that. Well, you can't praise the man. Excuse me? Maybe you can't praise that flesh, but you can praise what God has done in and through that man. If you cannot, then Jesus is wrong. Because he says, John the Baptist, there was no greater prophet throughout history than him. But he who is found in Christ is greater than he. Can we encourage? Can we lift up? Can we edify? Can we thank? And can we move forward with the spirit of love? Because I'm telling you, I couldn't be here without you. I couldn't. Do I think that you personally have done something great for me to put me here? No. But I do very strongly believe God has used you to allow me to be here. Have this mind among yourselves as Jesus Christ did. Don't look to your own interests. Look to other people's interests. Who, though he was in the form of God, and this is the greatest kind of statement that he makes. He says he was God. Though he was God, he did not count equality with God to be a thing to be grasped. And this is kind of a long statement. But really what he says here, he says, yes, Jesus Christ is God, fully God. There's no way around it. He said, but he didn't hold on to that. He didn't hold on to that. What did he do? Scripture says, and this very text will tell us, he emptied himself of that privilege to serve you and I. Do we think we're little mini gods? Do we think we're above everybody else? Or do we have the height of heart of Christ where we can empty ourselves of pride and in humbleness serve one another? I love that story, and I got to wrap this up because time is fleeting from us, but I love that story about that guest preacher that went to a mega church. And he was going to speak on humbleness and accepting others. And you've heard the story, I'm sure. And so anyway, they were waiting for this rock star of a preacher to show up. You know, this real Hollywood type. You know, people just were intrigued with this man. And it was getting time to preach and say he was going to preach at 11. It was 5 of 11 and there's still no preacher. They go through all the announcements and everything and they don't know what to do. Because there's still no preacher. But there's this homeless man sitting in the front pew. Nobody would even say hello to him. Nobody even came to him. He dressed up as a hobo, and he came to the church service to see how well the congregation practiced humbleness and humility in receiving others as they are. And they said he had one doozy of a sermon because nobody said hello to him. Do we think we're better? Are we afraid, maybe? Do we think we don't have, and that's another side of it. I don't think everybody just thinks they're better, but do we think we don't have anything to offer? We do. A smile. A hello. A God's peace. It's good to see you. An encouragement. Interest. People want you to be interested. Jesus, he was God. But yet he didn't think that was something he needed to hold on to. He actually let it go. He emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. We see this so well in John 13, don't we? Where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He took on the servant's garb. And he kneels before them and he washes. And he says, "You call me Lord and Master." He says, "You're right. I am." There is no doubt about that. Jesus just nails it right there. "I am. And yet I served you. And yet I served you. Do likewise." Being found in this human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. For us. For us. Therefore, because of this, God highly esteemed him and actually bestowed upon him the name above every name. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He is King. Our Lord and King took a position of humbleness and came to this earth and served us. And he served us not only in menial tasks of feeding, of helping, encouraging, but he also gave his life in our behalf. Do you thank him? May we have thankful hearts. God has also given us other servants within our midst, not just here in Zion, but all over, that take on tasks to serve us, to encourage us. And no, they don't always get it right. And yes, they do have a tendency to screw up. We are not Christ. We are not perfect in our own selves. But we have perfect forgiveness. Perfect redemption. The only reason I can honestly tell you I can stand in this pulpit to preach to you even such a message, maybe an earthly message, I don't know, but such a message about service, is because I stand in grace as I preach a message. Because it's not about me. He says very plainly, he did this for us. God lifted him up, gave a name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, what? All things will come. Every knee shall bow, in heaven and under earth and in the earth. Every tongue should confess. We find this so strongly, not only in the Old Testament of God himself, we find this in Revelation, even of Christ. We cannot deny. What Paul says, very plainly, it's not about us. It's about him. But because it's not about us, does not give us a right to encourage another. Because as Mark read to us earlier, we have been adopted as the children of God. So may we find reverence. May we find respect. And may we find love. Not just for the pastor of a congregation. But for each and every member of that congregation. May we understand that though we may not be perfect, and we will see the frailties in people, that we are given a perfect righteousness in and through Jesus Christ. In perfect grace. So if we can understand that individual in that grace, we need to understand ourselves also in that grace. And also offering that perfect forgiveness to that individual. May we find peace this new year. May we find comfort. And may we find encouragement, not only through his word and through his spirit, but through his body. The church is the body. Love one another for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Thank you, board members. Amen. Oh, I got to pray. I forgot about that part. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the last year. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a new one. It's a clean slate. But as Brother spoke, every moment is a clean slate before you in Christ. Allow us to receive that. Allow us to extend that. And allow us to encourage one another through that. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.